Necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We are at 660 AM or 97.5 on the FM dial. And you can also live stream us at KFAR.com. This is Problem Corner, and I'm your guest host, Joni Skillbred, filling in for David Pruse, who is off the air while he campaigns for the city's mayor's seat. If you would like to call in, you can do so by calling 458-TALK, or 458-8255, and we will try to get to your call. Today is Wednesday, so our topic will be something historical, and we have a great show lined up for you this morning. Today we have Joanne White and Gloria Corey, and they're in here in the studios, and today's topic is the riverboat Nenana that sits at Pioneer Park, and I'm just thrilled to have you ladies in here today. To discuss this is just one of the wonderful parts of Fairbanks' history that we have. So I guess that maybe we ought to start with, you're both with the Friends of the SS Nenana, correct?
Yes.
And so, and both of you are directors on that board?
Yes.
And so, Joanne, what is the Friends of the SS Nenana?
Well, the Friends of SS Nenana are friends of the boat that's at Pioneer Park, the big boat that you see when you're walking into the park. And our group formed, around 2017. And it started because the boat had been closed to the public. And the concern was what was going to happen to the boat, because there was repairs that needed to be done. The borough closed it to the public. So a group of people got together. I got involved because I saw an article in the newspaper that said a group was forming to get together to work at getting the boat open and restored and to taking care of her. And I thought, well, that's probably a good project for me since I was on the first restoration.
So it wasn't your first time at that rodeo.
No, I've been there before. And so I joined that group with some other folks. And we had a variety of people in the beginning of our group. We had some military, retired people, working people, just a lot of concern on making sure the boat was taken care of. So that's how I got involved. Gloria, how did you get started in that group?
When I moved back from Homer, I started I seen the boat. Mm-hmm. And I just started beating on the sidewalk, talking to a lot of people. I went to the assembly a couple of times. I talked to the mayor. His name was Castle. And now it's Bryce.
Carl Castle.
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So you've gone through two mayors.
Yes, I have.
And
I keep telling them, you know, I can't do this 5 or 10 years. It's got to be now. I'm 88.
The clock is ticking.
Yes. Yes.
So, and you have a personal connection to the riverboat.
Yes. My husband worked on it when it was under the ownership of the Alaska Railroad. He worked 46 and 47 from Nenana to Marshall. They'd make two trips a year.
And so what job did he have on the boat?
He was entitled the pantry man, but he did everything from loading the wood and, you know, serving the captains and, you know, all of that.
So you could say all hands on deck.
Yes, absolutely.
Every pun intended.
Yeah, they kept him busy.
Yes.
And then in 48, they put him on as a fireman for the railroad. So he just worked those 2 years.
And so that boat has a very special place in your heart.
Yeah, in my photo album as well.
I've seen your photo album. It's quite impressive.
Thank you.
Yes. So, Joanne, what can you tell us some of the work that's been accomplished on the riverboat so far by the Friends of the SS Nenana?
Well, we really haven't been able to get on the boat to do any physical work, mm-hmm. but this year was a good summer for us because Pioneer Park, we have a cabin number 22 right next to the office, and we've been wanting this cabin because we want to be able to give information to the public and tourists about the boat, because almost any time you go to the boat, you'll watch people, they'll be walking around, and you'll hear them say, gee, I wonder, can we get on it? I wonder where this boat went. And there are many times when I've gone by and I'll stop and I'll say, do you want to know some information? So we felt we needed a place to be able to share that. And so we have live video of the boat when she was actually working on the river that's set up in our cabin that
you can
come in and watch. And one part of that video actually has the restoration that was done 1988 to 92. In there we have maps, we have log books, we have photo albums. We have a lot of information in that cabin.
Yes.
So we're there Tuesdays to Sundays from noon to 5, and volunteers man it. And we do donations, but it's a good place for tourists. And I was there yesterday, even in the cold, with the little heaters on, and we had tourists coming in, and they want to know what's going on. The majority of them want to know when they can get tickets to get on the boat, but we told them they'll have to come back in a couple years or so when we get them on there. So we're mainly now doing information, going out for grants, trying to get action to happen on the boat so we can get people back there.
Well, you were, Gloria, you guys were successful in getting a designation, a historical designation,
yes,
for the boat,
yes,
which
we
is going to really help get the restoration done.
Right, and that's been a help through the Alaska Historical Society as well. They are pushing in behind us.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so getting a historical designation does what for you?
Well, it's the last ship, and so it's designated as something that's endangered.
Mm-hmm.
And that means a lot.
That gets you a higher priority,
yes,
on the funding
list. Yeah, it's more the top of the ladder instead of the bottom.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. It was good that you guys were able to get that,
uh-huh,
get that done.
Yeah.
And I really hope that you continue to get more success in the future. It's really an important endeavor.
Well, and my first restoration in 1988, a little bit about that is I was a third grade classroom teacher in Fairbanks, and we taught Fairbanks history. And again, there was an ad or article in the newspaper that a group was forming to do the restoration with Jack Williams. And he also did on the Harding car at, mm-hmm, at the park. And so myself and Cindy Aguilera and Barbara Ice, we were third grade teachers, we team taught together, and we thought this boat would be a great teaching tool for the kids to actually use. So we got involved raising money, selling pumpkins every year, doing fundraising to give money for the restoration, and then we linked up with Jack Williams and the group, and we were able to get those kids on the boat. We used it for measuring, for math, writing,
wow,
science. They interviewed crew members at that time. We put together books. We made a video. And we did a kit, actually, for the school district so that other teachers could check out this kit, take it to their classroom, and use it as a teaching tool. It was a wonderful thing to be able to have. And the kids learned a lot about the history of Alaska and of Fairbanks. And I was just thinking the other day, and I'm really not that old, but I think those kids now are probably in their 40s.
Terrible.
And it was just wonderful. And then when the boat got opened up, then they came back, and they were actually able to see. But they were on that boat a lot, and Jack was very open to having those children partake because they are residents, and they're the future of Fairbanks.
Okay.
And he used volunteers.
Yes, I remember that. Yes,
he did.
Okay, Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break, so please stay with us.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fish on! It's the Valdez Fishing Report, brought to you by Frontier Outfitters. Visit Frontier's extensive fishing department for conventional fly and saltwater tackle for every game fish in Alaska. Your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
This year's Women's Silver Salmon Derby will feature a Friday night Coho Cruise Night. The event will have participants visiting sponsored locations to see if their dog tag numbers are posted to win prizes. There will also be an opportunity for women to upload selfies at specific locations for prizes and compete in a group costume contest by taking a picture at the weigh-in station. There will be door prizes announced at the Women's Derby page of the Valdez Fish Derby website, and women will register to win one of three prize packages at registration. Check the leaderboards just below the Harbor Master's office at the weigh-in shack on Saturday for current standings. Women's Derby weigh-in closes at 6 p.m. on Saturday, and all winners will be posted at www.valdezfishderbies.com and at the weigh-in boards down by the Valdez Harbor. The theme for this year's Women's Silver Salmon Derby is Silver and Scales, and participants are encouraged to dress up for the Friday night event and even while fishing on Saturday. In the Valdez Halibut Derby, in first place overall is Jeremy Smith of North Pole, Alaska, who caught an 170-pound fish. In second place is Al White of Wasilla, Alaska, who is currently in second place with a 166.8-pound halibut he caught on August 5th. And Chris Mills of Melbourne, Florida, is currently in third place with a 150-pound halibut he caught on May 28th.
Fish on. Want to hook up in Valdez? Fish Central is the name to know and the place to go. Our free reservation service can book your trip on over 20 Valdez charter operations. Or a fleet of seaworthy skiffs can launch you on your own do-it-yourself fishing adventure. So when you're ready to hit it, give us a shout at 835-5090 or email us at fishcentral@alaska.net.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
Frontier Outfitters brings you the Valdez Fishing Report, helping you make your next fishing adventure a success. Rods to tackle, coolers to camping gear. It's your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
KFAR weather.
Daytime highs approaching 65 today. Under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the south around 5 miles per hour. Lows around 39 tonight, clear skies. High temperatures reach up to 71 tomorrow, sunny skies. Highs level off around 72 Friday under cloudy skies. 70 Saturday, chance for scattered showers. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back to KFAR's Problem Corner. We'll resume our discussion with Joanne White and Gloria Corey, who are directors on the Friends of the SS Nenana, the riverboat that's at Pioneer Park. If you'd like to call in, you can do so by dialing 458-TALK or 458-8255, and we will try to get to your call. So we've discussed who the Friends of the SS Nenana are and a little bit about some of the work that's been done on the boat since it's been at the park. But now I'd kind of like to talk about the history of the boat. And, you know, when it was built, where it was built, what it did on the river, and all of that. So maybe I'll start with you, Gloria.
It was prefabbed in Seattle. It come up from the down in California, wasn't it? I think, anyway, the actual. And then they shipped it up by
boat. On the Alaska Railroad or on boat?
Alaska Railroad owned it to start with. Mm-hmm. And then it was to be built by the Nenana people. Mm-hmm. It was not to be let out a bid or anything. So the Nenana had that, and they put it together, the village.
When was this?
1933,
I think I put in there.
33 or
yeah.
34.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When I was born.
So back then they had local hire. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, they had local hire.
Yes, yeah. they specifically had that in the contract. So.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the whole village was there when they dropped it into the river and made this big splash. And so that was the beginning of it, and it was to service the Tanana River, which it did, and it went all the way to Marshall and stopped at all the little villages.
But you mean the Yukon River?
Yukon.
Yes. Tanana,
Tanana
Yukon.
To Yukon.
Yes.
Yes, because Nenana has that great tributary either way.
Yeah. Yes.
And the villages, the villagers provided the wood. So every time they stopped, then they would have the wood ready to be hauled onto the boat. Mm-hmm.
It was a wood burner.
Oh, yes. It was the first
It was the first 2 years.
That's what I was
talking about. Oh, my gosh, a boat that size.
And it burned a quart of wood every hour.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
But it gave jobs to the villagers. They had contracts for cutting wood, and that's another interesting thing. If you come to Cabin 22, watching the video of the boat pulling in and on shore all of the stack of wood, and they would blow the horn before coming into the village, and the guys knew they had to get their carts ready to start loading wood and unloading supplies.
They had a special ramp to roll down.
They would call it wooding up. And everybody had to pitch in.
So it gave jobs to a lot of the village, the people that were working there. Mm-hmm. That's probably why a lot of the villages, when you're on the river, you don't see tree lines right up to the shore.
Yes.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. I didn't know that it was a wood burner at first. That's very interesting because that's a large boat. Do you know off the top of your head how big it is?
I'll give you some facts here since I wrote a few down. She was mainly a working vessel, and on it there were 24 berths. There was a dining saloon, smoking room, an observation room, pantry, men and women's toilets, kitchen, galley, and baking. There was a dumbwaiter actually on the cargo deck so they could bring the food up to the saloon deck to serve.
That's what Bill used.
Your
That's
husband.
Why it was called the pantry man.
And it was made out of fir wood, 1,128 tons. The boat was 237 feet. It could carry 300 tons of cargo and still be able to push six barges on the Yukon River. And one barge, when it was on the Tanana River, because the Tanana was narrower and had more turns in it. And there were five decks. The boat was 42 feet wide, 47 feet tall.
I can't hardly imagine pushing 6 tons of freight with a boat that size.
Yeah.
That's...
And only a draft of 3 feet.
3 feet,
yeah.
6 inches of water it needed. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when it was unloaded, it only needed 18 inches. I was going through some facts, and I'd forgot some of these, so I wrote them down, but only 18 inches of water when it was unloaded. It had twin tandem horsepower condensing engines. It could carry 230 cords of wood.
Oh, so in the hold, they would leave room for wood?
Yes.
No. And then the wood would also go on the deck?
Yeah, the deck was just loaded with the wood, and then they'd take down on the lift.
Oh, my
what they
goodness.
Needed to burn as they burned it.
It's a lot of work to run one of these things.
Yeah. Now, this I thought was, it had a condenser and it used steam, and the steam was cooled and it distilled the water and it was back into the boilers and reused. And it made its own water then for flushing toilets and showers.
And, well, you want the condenser. I happen to know a little bit about steam engines, and the reason that you want that distilled water is because it preserves the life of the tubes.
Mm-hmm.
They won't get corrosion or mineral buildup.
Right.
But to be able to use it then, because it did have toilets and it had showers on it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's very ingenious. Mm-hmm. You know, it was pretty self-contained.
Yeah.
And I think they also, the camps that they went to, they tried to do them every 50 miles so that they could load up with more wood.
So every 50 miles, they had to stop.
Mm-hmm. And it ran 24 hours a day.
Yes.
So they must have had lights to be able to run at night.
Yep, they had searchlights on when it got later into the season.
And I know that it has one unusual feature. It has the walking sticks.
Yes, when they get stuck on a on a sandbar.
Yeah, when the sandbars. Well, the river changes all the time, you know, and builds up silt, just like what's happened down at Artana now off the Chena.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it builds islands.
And so they had these big poles that they would have laid down on the deck, and then they would stand them upright, and they would use it to lift the boat. It's amazing. If you go and see it, the boat, you can see those sticks there.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing just to look at the size of the boat to think they were able to do that.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's my favorite part of it, if you couldn't tell.
And it gave a lot of jobs to the locals, you know. It had 30 to 35 people working on the boat all the time. And then on the villages, then it gave jobs for those people. And I think if you lived in a village and you heard that whistle coming, the kids were excited because they knew fresh fruit was coming and, you know, supplies.
Not to mention the whole show.
Yes.
You know, of the boat being unloaded, and they transported everything you would need for life in those villages.
The villages depended on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were able to, when I was working on the first restoration in 88 and 89, the kids from our classes, we were able to find still some crew members who were still alive that had worked on it, and they got to interview them and hear some of the stories, which were kind of fun for them.
Are those available anywhere today?
I'm going to go back and look and see if I can find those videos. I know of one the kids thought was funny. A man that was talking to him, they were interviewing, he said he and his friend were on the boat, and the boat was at one of the villages tied up, and they decided they were going to go swimming. So they jumped off the boat, and they're swimming around into the water, and all of a sudden the boat started leaving.
Oh, no.
And they frantically, I don't know who saw them, but they were trying to swim to catch up with this boat, and my kids thought that was the funniest thing. So there were some stories. We'll have to look. That would be fun to put out in the cabin, you know.
Yes. I would be really interested to see those interviews and hear what they had to say.
We are trying to find, because of so many years gone by, it's been hard for us lately to find people that had been on the boat. We can talk to grandchildren, have a connection. And so we're just going to put a shout out that if you have family or friends, or if you know somebody that has some kind of connection to the SS Nenana, we would love to talk to you. We are still doing interviews, and we're trying to make an archive of that. So you can always find us.
And how would they reach you?
We have a website, the Friends of SS Nenana. We have a Facebook page also. And if they were to do that, or they could actually even call the park, and they would be able to contact us.
Yeah, but Lee Williams.
And our email is friendsofssnenana@gmail.com. But we would love to talk to people that could give us some more information and family. We get that once in a while. My grandma was on that boat.
Photos, diaries. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some gentleman just got a hold of Nola Barnes, and I'm to call him. That's on my list today. And he has an interest or knows of somebody, so he wants to talk to us.
And we're also looking for things that were taken off the boat when it was parked.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. We would like to get some of those.
Especially when it was
the
down
original
on the
furnishings.
River here.
Yep. Yes. Yes. Well, we're going to be heading into our news break. And after we come back, we'll talk some more about its life after it was decommissioned by the Alaska Railroad. So, Fairbanks, stay with us. We'll be back after the news, weather, and a couple of commercials.
More Problem Corner. Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Former President Trump invoking his Fifth Amendment rights as he testified in a civil investigation by New York State Attorney General Letitia James.
James is investigating whether Mr. Trump and his company inflated the value of certain properties in order to obtain loans, tax deductions, and to derive other financial benefits. Soon after arriving at the AG's office, Mr. Trump released a statement that reads in part, "I did nothing wrong, which is why after 5 years of looking, the federal, state, and local governments with the fake news media have found nothing."
Fox's David Lee Miller. The federal government asking an appeals court to overturn a lower court ruling that blocked the mask mandate for airplanes and public transit.
Briefs are being filed this week, including one by Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody, who is leading 23 states' efforts to uphold the ruling. The U.S. Department of Justice is seeking the reversal, saying the CDC's statutory power allows it to enforce mask mandates.
Fox's Evan Brown. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The U.S. Coast Guard has suspended its search for a crew member from a cruise ship who was reported missing late Monday. Holland American Line says the man was a crew member on the vessel Koningsdam. The cruise line in a statement says a review of closed-circuit camera footage indicated that he likely went overboard intentionally. The statement says the U.S. Coast Guard was notified and began searching the area with the help of another ship. The Coast Guard says Tuesday afternoon that it has suspended its search. The agency says the incident remains under investigation. Officials say Alaska will receive at least $100 million through a new federal program to expand high-speed internet to underserved areas and promote workforce development. Alaska U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan coordinated a summit with state, federal, and tribal officials in Anchorage in an effort to ensure parties were on the same page moving forward. Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy signed a bill establishing a broadband office to help coordinate between all entities. Sullivan says it is important to seize the opportunity to connect every part of Alaska to broadband.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
On the 16th day of August 2022, Alaskans will have a chance to vote for a new team to lead Alaska into a future with prosperity for all. A team that will put Alaskans first. A team with experience in leadership. That team is Team Pierce. Charlie Pierce, Governor, and Edie Grunwald, Lieutenant Governor. As Borough Mayor, Charlie led the Kenai Peninsula through a pandemic with balanced budgets, a budget surplus, and a property tax reduction. Charlie Pierce and Edie Grunwald are a team that understands the importance of education, our fisheries, the need for a positive business climate, and the need to put you, the residents of Alaska, first in the hearts, minds, and actions of our state administration. On August 16th, you can vote for a better future, a future that starts now. Vote Charlie Pierce Governor and Edie Grunwald Lieutenant Governor. Choose results, not rhetoric, to guide Alaska and secure your future.
Vote August 16th, paid for by Charlie Pierce for Governor. P.O. Box 408, Soldana.
Are you looking for healthy, youthful skin without the hassle of downtime? Solstice Aesthetics is proud to offer Secret Pro, a skin treatment combining two proven techniques to treat your fine lines, wrinkles, acne scars, pore sides, crepey skin, stretch marks, and sun damage. Treatment sites can include face, neck, décolletage, knees, or any other body areas. Call us to set up your consult and start looking younger. Call 907-456-6334. Ask for Kim Baird.
The landlady said, "You got the rent money yet?" I said, "No. Can't find no job. Therefore, I ain't got no money to pay the rent."
If you're struggling to find a job, well, listen up. Affordable Used Cars needs to hire two lot technicians immediately. Two full-time positions, not seasonal. Plus overtime with a great starting wage. Experience preferred but not required if you're the right person. Go to work at the busiest car dealer in Fairbanks with an amazing work atmosphere. Apply in person at Affordable Used Cars, 2525 South Cushman.
A pollster asked Alaskans a simple question. What words first come to mind when I say Sarah Palin? The response? 90% of the answers included one of two words, quit or quitter. National commentators are scratching their heads and wondering whether former President Trump is paying attention.
Only losers quit. The biggest losers in the world are quitters.
Do we have any quitters here?
Well, yes, Donald, Sarah Palin is a quitter.
She's a quitter. She quit on us. She left us. She abandoned us. We picked her to do a job and she didn't bother to finish it because she wanted to go out there and get rich and famous.
On August 16th, you have a big decision to make about who replaces Don Young. Alaska needs a fighter. That's Nick Pekich.
I'm Nick Begich, candidate for Congress. I approve this message because I will fight for Alaska, and I will never quit.
Paid for by Alaskans for Nick Begich.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back to KFAR's Problem Corner. We'll resume our discussion with Joanne White and Gloria Corey, and they're with the Friends of the SS Nenana, the big river boat that's at Pioneer Park. If you'd like to call into the show, you can do so by dialing 458-TALK or 458-8255, and we will try to get to your call. So this has been so interesting. I've actually learned several things today that I didn't know before, and now, you know, it's making me want to know even more. So we left off with some of the operations of the SS Nenana when it was being used by the river, by the Alaska Railroad. And I see that we have a phone call, so we'll go ahead and take the call. Good morning, you're on the air. Who's this?
This is Mel.
Hi, Mel.
Hi. Hey, I'm wondering, I tuned in later. If I knew the topic, I would have tuned in at the beginning. Have you already talked about the restoration?
We are getting to that. We talked a little bit about some of the overview of it.
Okay, well, a friend of mine who was in the Coast Guard earlier in life, he's a boat guy, and he helped on the project to make it floatable again so they could move it at Pioneer Park, which was Alaska land then. They had to make it floatable before they could move it, and they had to excavate where it sits now.
They moved it around the corner.
Yeah, it wasn't far, but it took a lot of work to get it so they could do that.
Did you have a question for Joanne or Gloria?
I'll attempt to get in touch with you, but yeah, I do have a question. I'll let you get to the restoration part, but, I reacquainted myself with the Yukon riverboat in Whitehorse a few years ago. I hadn't been to Whitehorse in decades, and I got to say, they did a beautiful job. Mm-hmm. In the restoration, and I hope whoever you get, I understand you rejected all the offers you got to restore it, I would hope that you're in contact with whoever's in charge of the riverboat in Whitehorse, because it's of similar size and structure, and they've done a beautiful job with that. And anyway, that's my comment. I hope they get it restored, but I'll ask my friend to contact you. But he's not too happy how it's been treated since we floated in the 80s. So, anyway.
Okay. Thank you for the call. So, do you want to get to that now or later?
How about later? We'll talk about getting it in.
Okay. So, the riverboat Nenana was being operated by the Alaska Railroad, and it was working in the Tanana and Yukon Rivers, and then that stopped, and it was decommissioned, and do you have any information as to why that happened?
Well, it was wood burning, and then they had turned it to oil burning because the cost, and then it just became costly because then there were new boats, there were more airplanes going to the villages, so it just wasn't cost effective then.
Life had progressed.
The end of the era, you might say.
Oh, and the Alcan. We had the Alcan was also coming in then after the war.
Yes. So the villages that the riverboat serviced were getting more and more of their supplies by air then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They were kind of independent. They weren't dependent on the boat anymore.
You didn't have to have a crew of 35 to deliver cargo to a small village. Yes, that's kind of sad. So it was decommissioned, and that meant that they weren't going to be using it. And then what happened to it?
It sat in Nenana for a couple of years, there. And I think they, to my knowledge, they used it kind of like a motel, type of thing is what I understand. Mm-hmm. I'm not a part of that one, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was parked there for quite a while, and then in the article that you had put together, that's where we learned that some of the things that were on the boat at that time were taken off.
Yes.
And
held.
Yes. but I don't know if we ever got them back on.
Yes.
Indiana.
I heard a storage, but I don't know if that's true either.
What they're referring to is if you look at Monday's Newsminer, there's a big article in there about the riverboat and how it came to Fairbanks.
Okay.
Yes. So it was 1957 when the riverboat came to Fairbanks, and the Chamber of Commerce really, really, you know, they saw the value of the riverboat, thankfully, because if they hadn't have done that, the riverboat in Enana probably wouldn't be around today.
Surely. Yeah.
And it had to be brought to Fairbanks, and that wasn't an easy task. They had to get it going again. They had to get a crew to bring it up here. They drove it up here.
Right. Didn't they find some older crew members that had been on the boat?
There were some of those. I was working at Golden Valley at the time, and Mr. Bogwell was a part of that, where he got businessmen to help the people that had worked on the boat mm-hmm. to come together to save the boat, actually.
They formed a corporation because their initial efforts, they couldn't get funding from anybody that would. It was expensive to get it here. Mm-hmm. And so they sold, it was a subsidiary of the Chamber of Commerce, and they sold shares for $10 each, and Fairbanksans invested in getting it here.
And it was called the Greater Fairbanks Opportunity Incorporated the group.
Yeah, and I think that was their only purpose, was just to get it here and get it refurbished and up and
find a place.
Yes.
At that point, they didn't have the park in mind that came down the line.
And their idea was to bring it to Fairbanks and have a hotel restaurant on the boat to make money, because I think it was a tourist. They needed tourists to come to Fairbanks.
Well, no. At the time, Fairbanks had a severe lodging shortage, and we had hordes of tourists and nowhere to put them. This was an instant, an instant solution.
Housing shortage.
yes. And when I did the research for that article, I thought that it was very interesting that the first people that stayed on the riverboat after they got it, it was down at the end of Lincoln Street.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when they got it there and they got it refurbished and set up, the people that stayed there, they either loved it or they hated it. And there wasn't any in between. And the ones that hated it because the rooms were small and it was antiquated amenities. Mm-hmm. The ones that loved it because that was something from another time, mm-hmm. and you couldn't get that anywhere else.
Right. And they wanted it.
Yep. Yes. Yes. And it wasn't the only boatel in town at that time. There were some other ones. Mm-hmm. And we still do have one boatel.
Yes, we do. On Garrity.
Yes. So, but it didn't stick around. It wasn't used very long. And after that, what happened?
It was vacant. It was sad. It kind of just went downhill, just from the lack of use. And everybody, especially, I worked at the Spudette Shop, so I seen the boat a lot. Mm-hmm. In Golden Valley, I still seen the boat quite a bit. And kids would play on it. It mm-hmm. was just not being used correctly.
And then it was decided that, Pioneer Park was started to be established in the early 60s by the pioneers, but then A67 came about, the centennial. Mm-hmm.
That was the big push.
And that was
where they dug the canal and brought her in, so that Mr. Bogwell, I forget his first name, mm-hmm. but he was one of the leaders in that group.
And so when they brought it in, they had to dig by the back gate of the park. Mm-hmm. Is that where they brought it in through?
They canaled it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So they would just float it right in
like
from the
Chena? The Canada Chiefs or whatever that's called there, where they raft now. Yeah, mm-hmm. it was brought in that area.
And we do have film of that, of the boat coming into that ditch, into the park. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of interesting. They had tractors, it looked like, on the sides of the boat.
Dozers.
Bringing it in. And then they filled the ditch up after she was inside the park.
And they did use the walking sticks. you know, to,
oh, they
lever,
did.
To lever it, you know, wait.
I have to go and see this video. I'm going to have to go and see it. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And that was a major, major undertaking. And they did that the summer of 1965.
Mm-hmm.
And the park centennial celebration. So they were working on that for 2 years leading up to the actual celebration, which right. happened in 1967.
67, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yes.
And it was, they intended for it to stay on a moat. That was mm-hmm. the purpose then. Where yes. now today it's on a foundation. And that makes it so the city considers it a building instead oh. of a boat with the codes.
Oh.
Because it's not on water.
Interesting. Oh. Yes, there's always those little twists and turns,
yes.
isn't there? Yes. And so what happened during the flood? Was the boat affected by it?
Yes. It started rising.
Yeah.
And they were concerned it was going to drift around the park, so they drilled holes in the hull to
sink it.
Yeah, to sink it down into the water because they were concerned that it was going to start moving. That would have been fun.
So they let the boat flood.
Yeah, and which was not good for it either.
No.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the lesser of two evils, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up
on
KFAR 97.5 FM, 6:60 a.m., and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This might be my new career.
Hey, Fairbanks, I'll stick
I love
this. Well, I can
yes.
come on, let's go forward. We want your support. I'll tell you. Before I was a car dealer, I was a teacher, both here in the U.S. and overseas. I was twice named Teacher of the Year. I was a dean of students, a vice principal, and a principal. I spent a career in middle school education working with at-risk youth and children with disabilities. My opportunity to lead came when my school was facing closure. The school was in a financial crisis and its survival seemed unlikely. I presented a plan to the board to save the school and was given the job. Within a year, we were back in line. I understand firsthand the challenges that teachers and educators face and the work that administrators have to do to support them. I have a record for leading organizations out of financial crisis and back into sustainable success. Most importantly, I'm a parent. My kids go to school with your kids, and I want to work to secure the best educational opportunities for all of our children. And I have the experience in education and business to get it done. Let's talk about what we can accomplish together. Say yes to Les Nichols for School Board. Follow me at Les Nichols for School Board on Facebook or go to lesnicholsforschoolboard.com. This message is paid for by Les Nichols for School Board.
We believe life isn't about being the biggest. It's about being part of something bigger, something greater than anything we could achieve alone. We guide each other. We become better than ourselves. And together, we have the power to learn and grow. At Alyeska Tire, we're dedicated to driving our communities forward and going the extra mile for what matters most. Because community isn't just who we are, it's what we are. By sharing the experiences that shape us all, we're reminded of our similarities and we find our common ground. Learn more about our journey at alyeskatire.com and follow us on social to see the stories unfold. Alyeska Tire, we're always with you.
Weather this hour brought to you by Long Building Technologies. Call Long today to find out about a UV filtration and ionization system that will help reduce sick days in your workplace. 561-3044 or find out more at long.com.
KFAR weather.
Partly cloudy this afternoon with highs around 65. Southwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows level off around 39. Tonight, clear skies and quiet. Clear skies tomorrow, high of 71. Overcast Friday with highs in the low 70s. Chance for scattered rain showers Saturday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 6:60 a.m., and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR's Problem Corner, and we're going to resume our discussion with Joanne White and Gloria Corey. They're with the Friends of the SS Nenana. And before we do that, I see we have a phone call. So good morning. You're on the air.
Hello, yeah. My name's Charlie. I knew Dave Lyons, the creator of the dioramas.
Oh.
And during that time, Mayor Whitaker put a lot of money into restoring it. The roof that was on that, the detriment was weighing down the boat itself. Just it would, rather than spend more money on reproduction of that, you know, restoration, would be to build a roof over the whole boat with self-supported roof over it instead of having the snow load on the roof over the boat.
I remember that.
So, you know, the borough spent a lot of money on restoration, and they weren't really slouches about it. One thing also is in the Yukon, most of the stern rivers were burned down intentionally because that reminded the natives of the gold rush era and the development. So there's only one, if there is still any now, Dawson or White Horse.
Yes.
Used to be boats. When you drove the Alaska Highway, you could see several of those.
Yes. This is one of the last ones, yes. So did you have a question that you wanted to ask Gloria or Joanne?
Oh, what do they think of the restoration money that proposed in the bids and in millions of dollars, perhaps? Probably not in best use of the money.
Okay, well, we'll get to that. Thank you for the call. Okay, ladies, interesting question. So maybe we should, first of all, start with who owns the Nenana and who is responsible for its upkeep before we answer his question.
Well, the city had it, and then they turned it over to the borough.
So today it is property of the Fairbanks North Star Borough.
Right.
And who's responsible for the maintenance and upkeep of the Nenana?
Well, it's Parks and Rec with the borough.
So the Department of
Parks and Rec.
Mm-hmm. So it's borough tax dollars mm-hmm. as part of that program.
Yes.
Okay. And to answer his question about the money, so as I recall, there was some money available this spring, and there was a bid let, and what happened?
The CIP was $2.3 million.
Mm-hmm.
I do not know the amount of the bid. They just said it was over. And so they didn't have any other bid. It's just that one.
Right.
So the money is being held but used.
And the money came from where?
The CIP.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it was decided to put it on hold and rebid it?
Right. Well, the bid went out and we only had one contractor come back.
Wow.
And it did go over the amount, and now so no work is getting done on the boat this year. Next year it's going to be put out again, and we're looking at having maybe what the work required, what we want done, maybe done differently than what the bid was going to be for last year, because I think some of the problem also is that right now with the economy, shipping and supplies for contractors, they're a little bit nervous about
yes.
going out and taking a project when they aren't quite sure if they're going to have to pay more, they can't get the supplies. So I think that's also adds into it. But because our season's so short here, it really limits us to the amount of time that we can get work done on the boat.
And so kind of the brief list, what is the work that needs to be done on the boat? Besides painting, because everybody can see that it needs paint.
It's really nice inside with a couple of areas that have leaks, water leaks from mm-hmm. snow, melt, and rain, and that needs to be addressed. The borough has been worried about the cargo deck, but we've had Matthew Record really go over it. He said it's perfectly safe, but to stay off the bow. And so I think it's more nominal you know them, what they feel. And I think that's why it's good for the assemblymen to go on the boat and see for themselves, because none of them have been on the boat.
Oh, and they're going to vote on that. Yeah, that would be a good idea.
There is wood rot on it, and because the decks weren't being shoveled for snow for quite a while, and so that water was sitting on there, and there is some leakage going in. But the saloon deck, which when Jack Williams finished it, it is beautiful inside.
Yes.
All mahogany walls. I mean, the boat really is very, very nice inside. So it does have some issues. There is some wood rot. There's some metal
decay. The
pilot house
is significantly nice.
Yeah, and the steps have to be redone, but it's nothing that is, in my opinion, that you wouldn't want to put money into it to open it up.
It could be fixed.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
It's very doable.
Yes. And
if we do this work, this would carry the boat for several years into the future.
With maintenance.
Maintenance is important.
Yeah, and because it's a historic landmark, we also have to make sure that when we go in and do repairs on it,
historic,
it has to be done as close to what it was. And so, you know, that's also another thing we have to make sure.
Well, somebody visiting the boat doesn't want to see an old boat with new upgrades.
No.
I mean, with upgrades that are modern. You want to see the old boat.
Reality.
Yes.
And he spoke of the diorama. Mm-hmm. It's perfectly fine in there, except for the rivers. That plastic has deteriorated. Yeah. So with just a little effort, that could be.
Yes. And I had some tourists come in this last week that talked about the dioramas. And the dioramas actually are miniature replicas of all the villages that the boat had stopped at. And when Dave Lyons did that project, it's unbelievable. When you go, if you've never seen it, you look at a village and everything is in miniature, down to the cabins, to the fish racks for drying fish, the outhouses, the dog teams, the trees.
The little fish wheels.
I've seen it. It's amazing.
It's in perfect condition. It's still on the cargo deck, so we really are hoping the first place we can open up is the cargo deck again, so people can see that.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we're coming into our last 2 minutes of the show here, and, you know, I wanted to be sure that you had time to talk about, you have a upcoming event or events.
Go ahead.
This Saturday at Pioneer Park, it is going to be called Block Party for the park, and the vendors are going to be putting tents out, and there's going to be activities going on. We've linked that in with SS Nenana Day. So we are going to be doing some brownies, ice cream, selling for donations. We're going to get face painting. We are going to have information in the cabin. So if you're coming to the park on Saturday, come into our cabin to see us and see some things about the Nenana.
Wow. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I'll be a little shameless here. The steam locomotive is going to be running Saturday and Sunday, noon
good.
4.
Good.
So it's a good day to go to Pioneer Park.
Yes.
And go in and see, go into the cabin, Cabin 22?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, and see what's in there and get your brownies and ice cream. And
and visit us on Facebook, SS Nenana. We're always looking for some input. We keep updates on that, on what's going on with the boat, and there's some good videos and movies on that, too.
And do you want to talk once again about people who have connections to the boat contacting you?
Well, we've reached out when we're looking for donations. We are in contact with Lisa Murkowski's office, mm-hmm. And we're going to talk to her also about getting some funding. So this winter is our going out and reaching out for help with fundings and grants.
Yes. Well, thank you for listening, Fairbanks. We'll see you next week.